Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
We can never be peacemakers until we first experience personally, relationally, peace with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, there is an important verse for us to know. And that verse concerns our peace with God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ.
On today's PowerPoint, Pastor Graham brings a message about how you can handle any conflict with godly confidence. Now here's Pastor Graham with his message, how to handle conflict with conviction.
We live in a world terrorized by wars and rumors of wars. We know that conflict is inevitable and inescapable because of the existence of evil in the hearts of men and women. If anyone doubted that evil existed, September the 11th, 2001 reminded us of the terrible face and the tragedy that results from evil. Nations rage and people find themselves in conflict because of the conflict of the human heart and because there is no peace with God. We look forward to the day when our Lord returns and when Christ returns and establishes his eternal kingdom. It will be a time of perpetual peace. The prophet Isaiah said, in that day men will beat their swords into plowshares. And what we've dreamed, what we've prayed about, what we've sought our entire lives, which is peace on earth, will be a reality. But until that day, we know that war is a reality, a terrible reality, a stark reality, but it is real. Even Jesus announced, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And there is division as a result of a courageous stand for Christ. And I tell you, as long as evil men live on the earth, as long as evil exists in the hearts of humanity, there will be conflict. The problem is not with nations. The problem is within the hearts of men. And evil raises its head in the most unusual places, sometimes in ironic places. It is strange to me when you see some marching for peace, protesting and marching for peace, that often it is the same crowd that marches for abortion and pro-choice. And they're blinded by the fact that while they protest blood and war, the same blood is on their hands because they support the evil practice of abortion. What's the problem? The problem is the rage in the hearts of humanity. Oh, we keep trying. We tried diplomacy. We tried detente, negotiations, alliances, leagues of nations, ambassadors. But so often it proves to be futile and even foolish. Isaiah said, there is no peace for the wicked. And until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, reigns in our hearts and rules upon the earth, we will never know lasting peace. And so there's conflict. There's war within. We live in a war zone. A war between nations. There is struggle and strife in our homes, in our classrooms, even in our churches. And so we fight. No wonder Jesus said, God favors, God applauds, God blesses peacemakers. Now, in order for us to understand what it is to make peace and not war, we need to understand the four different kinds of peace described in the Bible. The first peace that I want to talk to you about is peace with God. We can never be peacemakers until we first experience personally, relationally, peace with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, there is an important verse for us to know. And that verse concerns our peace with God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is necessary because every one of us are born into this world with our fists clenched and our backs in rebellion against God. The moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, a rebellious streak was born into the hearts of men. And there is therefore now enmity, resistance, rebellion against God. And so we need peace with God. How can we, who have been estranged from God, who have been born going in a different direction from God, when there is this great wall that separates holy God from sinful man, how can we have peace with God? God sent Jesus, his only son, on a peace mission to earth. And Jesus came preaching peace and preaching life. And he lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross. And he cried out in the final moments of his death, "It is finished." What was finished was the battle between the souls of men in rebellion against God and God who is estranged and offended. And at the moment when Christ died, God and man are reconciled by the peace of his cross, by the power of his cross. And the peace treaty was signed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have peace with God because he is risen from the dead. According to Ephesians chapter 2, the apostle Paul said, we now have peace with God because Christ is our peace. When you accept Christ into your life, you have this peace. The word Jesus used is a common word used among Jews of his day and his time and of our time. It's the word shalom. It actually means well-being. And we have this well-being, this sense of peace with God when we know him through Jesus Christ. But there's another kind of peace that I want to mention. That's what the Bible describes as the peace of God. And when you have peace with God, you can then have the peace of God. The Apostle Paul talked about the peace of God in Philippians 4 and verse 7. When he says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And yet some who have peace with God do not know and experience personally this peace of God. So many Christians are struggling and striving in relationships and careers, fighting within their families. Lives are coming apart. And you just have to wonder, why is it that so many believers do not get to this point, this place of peace in their lives? Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Jesus said, I give you a peace that the world can't give you. This peace that Jesus gives, you can have in the midst of chaos, in one of the most turbulent times of your life. You can know this peace. It is the peace of God. What is it? It is calmness. It is certainty. It is centeredness. Christ-centeredness. For you know, our scripture is Matthew 6:33 that ties the entire Sermon on the Mount together. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek Christ first. Center your life in Christ. Get Christ at the core and the center of your life. And then all of the issues that we deal with, all the struggles, all of the needs, all of the problems, all of the pressures, all of the perplexities of life, we will have everything put together in Christ when Christ is the center. And we can say with the psalmist, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O God, will make me to dwell in safety. You don't have to live in a battle every day. You can live in peace and the rest and the sweet joy of walking with Him with confidence, calmness, and centeredness. So there's peace with God, then the peace of God, but then there's a third kind of peace the Bible talks about, and that's the peace from God. And this is the kind of peace that we have when we're faced with difficult decisions or major choices in our lives. But often we come up to a decision point and it's time to fish or cut bait. And we're not exactly sure what we're going to do until peace from God invades the process. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3 and verse 15. It talks about this peace that we have from God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now note that phrase, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We get our word umpire from this very word. You know what an umpire does. An umpire manages the rules of the games, making sure that the game is played according to the goals of the game, the boundaries of the game, the rules of the game. I mean, it's not much fun playing a game without rules. And so we have umpires. The peace that we have from God rules in our hearts, manages our lives like an umpire, saying, you're out of bounds over here. This is the way. This is the goal. This is what you do. If you want to be successful, if you want to win, this is how you manage it. And so the Spirit of God creates this wonderful peace within us. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And we have this peace so that when we need to know if it's a decision that God approves, that we will have His peace. And when in doubt, I don't. And I've discovered in my own life that it's not so much that I find the will of God, but the will of God finds me and brings me His peace in the entire process.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, How to Handle Conflict with Conviction. To thank you for your gift to PowerPoint, Pastor Graham wants to send you a copy of his thought-provoking book, A Man of God. In it, he shows you what it takes to restore men to the position of spiritual leaders in our homes. So be sure to request the book, A Man of God, when you call with your gift. 1-800-795-4627. 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Pastor Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can now hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Now let's get back to today's message, How to Handle Conflict with Conviction.
But then there's a fourth kind of peace, peace for God. It's why Jesus said, blessed, favored, applauded by God are the peacemakers. He didn't say, blessed are the peace lovers, or blessed are the pacifists. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers because Jesus knows that peace is not appeasement. And peace is not avoidance. You know, it's true in a personal conflict. If you avoid a problem, if you try to ignore a problem, what happens? The problem just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then the problem explodes. It's true with nations. Ask Europe of the 1930s how avoidance and appeasement, peace at any price, nearly destroyed the world. Jesus did not believe in avoidance or appeasement. He often stood for righteousness. He often resisted and brought himself into conflict against evil. And so often, avoidance and appeasement is just running from a problem, which is cowardice. Peace is costly. And peacemakers understand that cost. Jesus acknowledged that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. We know that the Middle East is a powder keg ready to blow. And that ultimately, the conflict of the Middle East will result in what the Bible describes as Armageddon. War is a ghastly evil. We should pray for peace. We should work for peace. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world which evil exists, and evil men terrorize and threaten the peace, the safety, the freedoms of others. And so we know that war sometimes is necessary in order to accomplish a more just cause. Centuries ago, Thomas Aquinas developed what is known as the just war theory. And throughout the centuries of Christian history and Christian theology, the just war, the cause of just war, has been a part of the discussion and the theology of the church. So what is just war? When, according to the Bible, is it proper for a Christian to support political action or military action? The just war theory, I'm breaking it down into three parts. One is the principle of authority. That's found in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. When the Apostle Paul describes the state or civil government as bearing the sword against those who do evil, that there is a sovereign authority ordained by God so that vigilante justice will not ensue, so that we do not take justice or action in our own hands, but rather that it is under the authority of the sovereign government of a nation. And so that principle of sovereign authority is at the outset of this theory. Secondly, there is the principle of justice. The principle of justice. To punish evildoers, according to Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. When freedoms are threatened, when despots and dictators would destroy the security and the safety of peace-loving people, then justice demands, yes, the justice of God demands that war would preempt and defend against this kind of injustice. So a war can be preventative in nature. It can prevent attack, prevent further harm, or it can be defensive in action. And the third principle is the principle of peacemaking. Let me read to you from the words of St. Thomas Aquinas. The third factor is that it is necessary that the belligerent should have a rightful intention so that they intend the advancement of good and the avoidance of evil. In other words, when we have been offended or when there is war on the horizon, the belligerent looks upon the goal of war as not control or domination, certainly not killing or murder, but rather the advancement of good and the avoidance of evil. Listen to this quote by Augustine, the great Christian theologian and philosopher. True religion looks upon as peaceful those wars that are waged not for motives of aggrandizement or cruelty, but with the object of securing peace, of punishing, here it is, punishing evildoers, and of uplifting the good. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, gave us these words. Without armaments, peace cannot be kept. Wars are waged not only to repel injustice, but also to establish a firm peace. Our nation has been protected by the sacrifice, often in blood, of men and women who have fought to preserve peace and freedom. And it is a just cause and it is a just war when that cause is not to make war but ultimately to make peace. Communism in Eastern Europe was defeated because a peace through strength policy from this nation. International peace is often achieved through the work of Jesus Christ in the hearts of believers. It happened in that wonderful summer of 1989, the fall of communism in Eastern Europe. An unusual thing happened when the walls of communism fell, something that we never believed we would see in our lifetime. Some of us who grew up in times of building bomb shelters in our yards in fear of communism, and yet now the tanks are rolling into cities protecting the peace. And when the tanks rolled in, guess what they saw? Lining the streets of Eastern Europe were people, Christians, praising God and on their knees praying and thanking God for the peace that came. And we have since discovered that at the very core of the collapse of communism in these nations was the Christian community who prayed and worked for peace, and God answered. Whether it's international conflict or personal conflict, we're to seek to make peace. Maybe there's trouble and struggle in your home, and God has called you to peace in your home. And this peace, this strife in your family, can only be delivered when you know Jesus in your life and you begin applying the principles and the perspectives of His way of life upon your life. We have racial tensions in America that still exist. That's why we need peacemakers to bring people together for the sake of Christ and the reconciliation of our nation. We have war in the marketplace, struggle and fighting and turbulence. That's why we need peacemakers, Christians, in the community, sharing the love of Christ and the promise of His peace. You want to be a peacemaker? Introduce people to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. You'll be blessed. The happiest, most wonderful experience in life is leading a person to know peace with God and the peace of God through Jesus Christ. We need peacemakers today. And when we make peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, whether it is at an international level or a personal level, that's when Jesus says, you will be called the sons of God. When God sees you making peace, He says, that is my boy. That is my girl. Because that person is living and making peace. What's going to be the legacy of your life? Are you going to be known as a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, How to Handle Conflict with Conviction. A deep need for godly male leadership is hardwired into the heart of every single person. So, with such an important task at hand for men today, Pastor Graham wants to give you solid, biblical guidance for this kind of leadership in his eye-opening book, A Man of God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint, so call to request your copy today. 1-800-795-4627. 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Pastor Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can now hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Maybe today you're living in conflict. Perhaps your marriage is struggling, or your children are rebelling and you don't know what to do. There's so much conflict everywhere. Maybe your job is shaky and you don't know if you'll even be employed that much longer. Whatever your conflict, I promise you, according to God's word, you can know and experience God's peace in your life. H.G. Spafford lived in the 19th century and was a very wealthy man. And while he was doing well, he decided he wanted to send his wife and four daughters on a cruise overseas to Europe, where they could look at the museums of art, the great architecture, and the great sights of Europe. So Mr. Spafford put them on a ship and sent them off. Well, while they were away and on their way across the sea in the ship, in America, the banks collapsed, and as was common in the times of a depression, Stafford lost everything. In a matter of hours, his entire fortune disappeared. And then he read in the newspapers of the crash of that ship that was bearing his wife and his daughters to Europe. They collided with another ship and in a matter of minutes went under. He didn't know what happened. He didn't know if they were alive or dead. Well, a few days later, due to a supernatural act of God, his wife was saved, though his daughters perished in that boat accident. His wife sent a telegraph from overseas, and it said simply, "Saved, alone. What shall I do?" And in a matter of days, literally, Stafford had lost his fortune and now most of his family. His precious daughters perished. So what was Spafford to do? Well, this wonderful Christian took pen and paper in hand, and he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." It's my prayer that you can also say, "It is well with my soul," that you know the peace of God that is unexplainable, and yet it is unmistakable. God's grace and His peace will give you strength for today, no matter what you're going through.
And that is today's PowerPoint. To thank you for your gift to PowerPoint today, Pastor Graham wants to send you his book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, next time, Pastor Graham brings a message about how you can be a courageous Christian. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.